hotline right now is Dr. Rudolph Tanzi. He's a professor of neurology at Harvard Medical and a director of genetics and aging research unit at Mass General. And he has been studying to identify a genetic basis of disease to find treatments to different diseases. And the New York Times did a front page article where they talked about the research that he has been doing to try and cure Alzheimer's. Dr. Tanzi, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, one of the reasons we brought you on is, you know, the lead part of that article, which I'm hoping that you read, that quoted you extensively in the article, was ALS. And a good friend of mine passed away from ALS earlier this year. And he had struggled with ALS for 4 years. He was a real fighter, a former Marine. But over those 4 years, no cure. It didn't seem like there were any advancement. In fact, it seems like since Lou Gehrig made that wonderful statement today, I am the luckiest man on the face of the earth, at Yankee Stadium back in the 30s, nothing seems to have changed. I guess my question to you is, the gene therapy that you guys are experimenting with, how much hope does it hold?
Well, let me clarify the process, because although we use genes to try to understand and cure the disease, we are not necessarily using gene therapy.
Okay.
More often, and this is actually important you brought that up, because many people think we find genes for that purpose. And in some rare cases, childhood disorders, that's possible. But for disorders like Lou Gehrig's disease, Alzheimer's disease, which I study, and other neurological disorders, only by identifying the genes that cause the disease or perhaps confer increased risk for the disease as you age can we understand the disease process. Because genes make proteins, and proteins are the basis of all the biochemistry in your body. So if you really want to know what's going wrong at the root level, you need to identify the genes, and that will tell you what's going wrong biochemically, and then you can think about drugs, you know, in the form of little white pills or therapies to cure the disease in more traditional ways.
So it's essentially, and before, when you used to treat symptoms, now you're actually taking a look at the cause and trying to actually treat the disease.
That's absolutely correct. In the past, we could only describe the disease by symptoms and then try to treat it as such. But if you understand the root causes of the disease, and this is what genetics affords you, then you can actually stop the disease process itself. You can have drugs that either curb the disease process or even reverse it. I believe that the brain is a very resilient organ, and that if you give it a chance to recover, if you stop whatever the toxic events are that are going on because of the disease, that just like we used to say, you know, as soon as you stop smoking, the lungs start to correct themselves and rejuvenate. Much is the same with the brain. The brain is a highly resilient organ. So the idea is understand how the disease works at the genetic level, and then develop drugs based on what you've learned at the biochemical level to treat the disease and prevent the disease.
It's interesting too, because according to the Wall Street Journal, the Cure Alzheimer's Fund invested $3 million in your gene research. The article was essentially saying there is a lot of private money now going into research. Families, wealthy families who've either been touched by a disease or know someone who has the disease are contributing money toward research. Do you yourself concur with that? Do you agree that there's been an increase in private funding or interest from private foundations?
Yes, absolutely. You know, they say necessity is the mother of invention. What's happened over the last few years is that research funding has gone down at the federal level. In Alzheimer's disease, after enjoying years of increases of federal funding year to year, over the past couple of years and continuing into this year, there have been decreases. So at the time this disease is becoming a greater epidemic with baby boomers aging, mysteriously, the federal funding for this disease has been decreasing every year. This has forced me and others to seek other ways to keep our projects funded. So we sought out families who had an interest in the disease who could help. And the Cure Alzheimer's Fund consists of four founding families who have committed their money, who have also engaged their friends and family to also to contribute funds with the goal of identifying all of the genes that are involved in Alzheimer's. So we call this the Alzheimer's Genome Project. And as we identify these genes, every single one of us gives us another shot on goal to understand what's happening biologically so we can think about drugs and therapies to treat and prevent the disease.
Well, I'm one of those people who are actually heartened by the fact that private funding is going into it, because when it's private funding, you don't get any I'm not a big fan of folks inside the Beltway, Doctor. I know you don't listen to the show, but I'm not a big fan of politics, most politicians from either party. But they tend to make so many rules and regulations that they don't give you, the physician, the researcher, the chance to do the kind of research and take the kind of chances that I think you need to take in order for there to be a breakthrough. So I know it's a whole lot more work, but I'm glad these families are stepping forward with the money and allowing you to do the kind of work you do. And I guess my next question then would be, well, let's do Alzheimer's first. You having success?
Yes, and what you point out is extremely accurate, because these days, in order to get federal money, you have to write very conservative grants in order to get them passed through the, you know, the review sections. And Henry McCants, who's one of our founders on Cure Alzheimer's Fund, says even the projects to get funded at the federal level these days, in football terms, are like, you know, 5-yard runs or maybe 10-yard passes at most. With the private funding, we can take the higher risk projects that have potentially higher gain and go for the 20-30-yard pass, or in some cases with novel drugs we're testing, even the Hail Mary pass, you know, going back to Doug Flutie. So what you said is very accurate.
Well, hopefully your quarterback isn't Eli Manning. I don't know if you saw the Giants game yesterday, but
yeah, the Manning brothers are having troubles, but you know, I'm a Patriots fan, and I believe in Tom Brady.
Well, Tom.
Although the turnovers are not helping us.
No, but listen, it's still the Belichick Patriots. It's still Tom Brady. It's still look for him in the Super Bowl, and if not in the Super Bowl, pretty close. So what about the Super Bowl? Look, this has been an increasing frustration of mine. I am not a wealthy person. There's only so much I personally can do for ALS, but I'm just kind of. I don't get it. I don't get it, Dr. Tanzi. Why, here we are some 70 years after Lou Gehrig makes that speech, and we don't seem to be any closer. Do you think looking at genes could lead us there?
Yes. Well, see, I always tell my students and trainees, you cannot properly, and I think this is true anywhere, you can't properly answer the question of how until you answer the question of what. And what I mean is that no matter how elegant, you know, some hypothesis or mechanism you come up with is, if you don't have the right players in that mechanism or hypothesis, you're wasting your time, no matter how cool the hypothesis is. So you have to start at the first stage and say, who are the players? What are the genes and proteins involved? And then you can build up how they interact. And it's when you understand that, you can really responsibly do effective drug design and development. Now, in ALS, we know of a couple of genes already. The problem is they have not lent themselves immediately to how to do drug discovery, and that happens sometimes. With Huntington's disease, same thing. I was involved with both Huntington's and ALS gene discoveries. And with Huntington's, which was the first one that was ever found, to this day, you know, a decade later, we can't get a handle on how to treat that disease based on what we've learned from the gene, but we're making progress. Now, in Alzheimer's, it's been a little better. The four genes that we found so far, and three of them we were involved with finding here at Harvard in my lab, are telling us a lot about how to treat the disease. So we've been much luckier in Alzheimer's.
I see so much encouraging news when it comes to Alzheimer's, and clearly you guys are making great advances there. If you make those kind of advances, is it the same kind of thing where you say, well, look, if we found a solution here, the odds are my colleagues who are looking into ALS, maybe they can find using the same kind of techniques. Maybe they can use the same kind of techniques.
That's actually more possible and probable than you know. In fact, one of the new Alzheimer's genes that we found looks like it's crossing over into playing a role in Lou Gehrig's disease as well. And now with Lou Gehrig's, there are multiple groups who are doing the same type of gene screens. In other words, we call ours the Alzheimer's Genome Project. The equivalent Lou Gehrig's Genome Project is going on in multiple labs. We're all waiting with bated breath as to what those genes are. And as soon as we see a few of those genes that tell us about biological events that are what we call druggable, we use the word druggable, meaning, okay, now we know what's going on at biological level, how feasible will it be to develop a drug to intervene and correct what's going wrong? And sometimes it's immediately obvious, sometimes it's not. What we need with Lou Gehrig's disease is what we've already been afforded in Alzheimer's disease, which is biological events elucidated by gene discovery that lend themselves readily to drug discovery. And I think that's going to happen for ALS, but the same thing as in Alzheimer's, you have to identify those genes first. You have to get to the basic players before you can drive the research that tells you how to treat the disease.
Well, you were speaking before about the human brain being an amazing thing and it and its ability to help the body regenerate and rejuvenate and get better, and I'm with you on that. But one of the things the human brain does, thank goodness they put human brains in people like you, Dr. Tansey, and good ones, because you give us hope that it's not going to take, that Alzheimer's isn't going to debilitate an ever-increasing part of the population, and hope that my friend Dell's death will not go unnoticed, and that someday soon we'll have some kind of way to stop the progression of Lou Gehrig's disease. So,
well, thank you for your kind words, and I'm very optimistic. I know it's a lot of work, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. And the most important thing for a scientist is to know that they are working on something relevant. The problem is, if you know, you could be doing all the greatest, most elegant work in the world, but if you're not working on a relevant part of the disease, you know, a relevant piece of biology, you know, no matter how nice your science is, you're wasting your time. It's the genetics that tells us what's relevant. And now, at this time in scientific history, there's a boom in genetic technology that's allowing us to find many disease genes that we couldn't find in the past. And this is because of a very successful confluence of technology, databases, the Genome Project. There's so many things happening right now that there's a true inflection point in genetic research this year that's allowing us to break out, find these genes. And that's why I'm optimistic that we'll translate at least a few of these into drugs over the next 5 years.
Well, if you are interested in helping Dr. Tansey, he is working using donations through the Cure Alzheimer's Fund. And if you're interested in helping his colleagues, I'm sure you can. Harvard's doing work on that as well. How can people help out if they wanted to help out financially, Dr. Tansey?
Well, the best thing to do is to learn more by going to the website, and then there are instructions there. And it's curealzfund.org. So cure, CUREALZFUND, curealzfund.org. It tells about everything we're doing, and then there's a section there that tells you how you could donate and help out the process if you wish.
And if you're interested, we're going to get you a website if you're interested in helping out with the Lou Gehrig's disease as well, because they have a website as well, the ALS Association.
Yes, that's right.
Doctor, thank you so much. Thank you for your work. God bless you. Godspeed in finding this discovery.
God bless you, too, for bringing public awareness to this. We really need people to know what we're doing and to help out if they can.
Well, your mom and dad raised a smart boy.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dr. Tansey. See ya.
Appreciate it. Bye.